Well, I don't even look at my view count anymore. Like, most days, I actually have no idea how many views I've got. Somebody would say, oh, you've got like 1,000 views. I'm like, have I? Like, I have no idea. You shouldn't really care so much for the numbers. It's kind of like a byproduct. If you do a good job with the community, then the numbers will fill themselves.
Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast, a show about the tools, techniques, and the people in the live streaming industry. I'm your host, Pete Wilkins, and on today's show, we are talking to a full-time Twitch streamer called Mark, better known as Valkyria, who's made a name for himself thanks to his high-skilled FPS gameplay combined with his down-to-earth personality. In this episode, we're going to be diving into exactly what it takes to grow your stream from a hobby to a full-time career, how you can best utilize YouTube to funnel viewers to Twitch, and what it's like trying to branch out from the game that made you famous. So, Mark, welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been streaming for? What kind of content are you streaming? And maybe give us an indication of where you are number-wise.
I've been streaming for about 5 years now. I think about 3 years full-time. You know, I can never remember now. It's past that point of remembering where I am in my journey in terms of just about 3 or 4 years full-time. Currently playing Overwatch for the past few years because that's the game that kind of took off for me. And it's roughly, I'd say roughly between 250 up to around, let's say, 700-800 viewers. Before Overwatch came out, I was a variety streamer. So I started streaming in about, I think it's February 2015. And I just went into it variety. But the thing is, I went in with the mindset of like Twitch is less than 5 years old. And YouTube was 10 years old at that point. Everything had been done. But I'm like, well, there's going to be a ton of stuff on Twitch which hadn't been done. So I was like trying different games. I was being tactical. But yeah, I was doing variety then, playing whatever game I felt was good. And then I'd look at it from a more strategic angle with the games. Like, popular AAA titles are probably not the way to go because it will be soaked up by the already them big streamers. So I was kind of focusing on like medium, mid-range, popular, maybe franchise-style games where there was like an audience for it, but it wasn't one which was huge.
So then when Overwatch came out, what changed for you? Was it just that you played the game a couple of times and enjoyed playing it, or was it more strategic than that?
Yeah, so when Overwatch was announced, it was almost like I was waiting for a game to fit what I would enjoy. And I was like, right, this is it. Like, it's Blizzard, so Blizzard don't have many titles, so definitely not going to let one of their games die. It's going to be popular for sure, for a good few years at least. So I wanted to be the kind of person at the beginning that uploaded like how to change your crosshair onto YouTube. So I had the strategy was I'd do YouTube as well as streaming at the same time, because I feel like there was going to be so many people searching for videos that I could filter through to Twitch, that it was such a smart idea to just get as much content out as possible, but good quality content. So Overwatch came out, I think it was about 2 or 3 months before I quit my full-time job. I feel like if I quit a little bit earlier, I probably would be a little bit further ahead, because it was about having the time to create these very essential beginning videos of Overwatch, just basic stuff like looking at the hero abilities. But I was very limited on the amount of hours I could put into that, because I'd be working for like 9 hours a day, then coming home and then streaming, and then having to try and fit 2 or 3 videos in. You know, I was trying to make 2 or 3 videos per day on that, because it was exciting, right? It was new game. You feel like if you get into the beta, you're like kind of ahead of everybody else. It feels like you've got a little bit of a head start. So I just wanted to kind of say, right, this is the game which I'm gonna grow on and take it to the next step.
So how long after you decided to start streaming Overwatch were you able to transition this into your full-time job?
So Overwatch came out, I think it was, I want to say like 24th of May 2016. And I quit and went full-time on July 15th, 2016. So it was about 2 months after Overwatch came out. I was already seeing growth on the stream before that. Like I said, when I went into it, I really put everything into it. So for the first 6 months, I really grinded. I put in a lot of effort. Every day I would come home from work and challenge myself, like, right, what can I do? One thing to change my stream, update a graphic, make something, play a new game. Just one thing which would feel like I'm adding to the stream every single day. As my profession was marketing, graphic design, I always made sure that everything looked polished and clean and everything felt smooth. And then after kind of looking at everything, I was like, you know, I could really probably take this places. And one of my inspirations of actually streaming was in my old job, I was sponsoring streamers as well. Like, I was on the other fence and I was like, well, some of these streamers are sponsoring. So I could do this. I was like, I could stream. Like, I've got the equipment. I worked at a computer hardware company that made gaming PCs. So I could, you know, I had good equipment. I was gaming since I was young, and I knew I had like the, at least some personality for it. So I was like, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to try it, and I'm going to put everything into it. And if it goes somewhere, then, you know, I feel like I can make something from it. So then Overwatch came out. Then I was like, right, this is the one. It was tiring. Like at the beginning of streaming, like I'd stream 7 days a week, every single day. I almost feel like I lost the year of my life, though, in a weird way. Like I didn't go out, I didn't socialize. I mean, for this day and age with the whole coronavirus thing, it'd probably be great staying inside. But then, yeah, it was really weird for just staying inside and just, I think it was just so driven. I had so many ideas that it was like, don't miss a second or you'll kind of miss out.
So it sounds like you used a lot of different platforms other than Twitch to actually help accelerate your growth on Twitch. Do you mind going into detail with that a little bit more, talking about how you used YouTube specifically to grow your stream?
My thought behind YouTube was I can only be live on Twitch for X amount of hours, but YouTube content's always there. So if somebody searched for a video, I might come up. Whereas if I'm offline on Twitch, I won't come up. So it was more about people searching, and I was clever about it as well. You know, I was looking at Google Trends. Now, as I said, working in marketing, I was like, I was very kind of tuned into, right, what are people going to be searching right now? So I did Google Trends, searching for web and searching for YouTube, people who were looking at certain keywords over the past day. And then I would make videos based on that. So if somebody was suddenly talking about a new hero, then I'd make a new hero video, make sure I could include all the keywords that people were searching for in the tags into the comments. So then like all that kind of SEO description stuff would be more likely to appear. And at the beginning, it did super well. Right now, the game is, there's not as many updates anymore. So the search volumes have gone down a bit. But at the beginning, I remember sitting at work, looking at my subscriber count on YouTube go up by like 20, 30 every minute, just watching it. And I was like, I got to quit my job. I've got to do this full time.
So was there ever a time in your journey where you were comparing YouTube and Twitch and thinking of, you know, should I go down the Twitch route and be a live streamer, or should I just keep creating content on YouTube because that's what's growing for me?
Yeah, so I never saw YouTube as an income revenue stream. Like I only saw it as a place to put good quality content to filter people through to Twitch, because I had this perception, because people saying there's no, you know, you can't make money on YouTube now because you have to have thousands and thousands of views. I was like, well, I won't focus on YouTube. I'll focus on what I was already making some money in, which was in Twitch. And I just thought to myself, well, if I have good quality content on that YouTube, then maybe I can just filter people through. And then that's kind of the end of it. I never really thought of it as more than that, to be honest. Recently, I found it hard to balance both Twitch and YouTube, especially with the lack of content. And also with making the YouTube just about Overwatch as well. And with Overwatch being a game which is kind of like a love-hate relationship. You can either have a really good time, you can have a really bad time. It kind of knocks what you want to create with the game as well. So my YouTube content has suffered and has been lacking after the kind of motivation of everything I wanted to do has gone. Like there's no more like crosshair creations. There's no more this. There is things to be creative from it, but as time goes on, more of it has been done and it just makes it a little bit more tricky.
Let's dive into that a little bit, because I think a lot of people listening probably have similar stories where they have seen a particular success come from a certain game, but that game has sort of reached the end point for them, or they're not enjoying it as much as they used to, and they want to transition into playing a new game. But obviously a lot of the audience has come from wanting to watch the game that made you, and for you that's Overwatch. Can you go into a bit of detail about how you've dealt with that and what challenges you face?
So ideally what you want is, there are two types of viewers on Twitch. The viewers who will watch you for the game you're playing, enjoy the game you're playing, and those are viewers who will watch you for your personality, who enjoy hanging around with your community. And you ideally want to convert people into that second type of viewer. As people come to your stream regularly every day, so somebody might come to my stream when I go live every single day who would just come to watch Overwatch. But then because they're so regularly, if I was to play a different game, they would probably just hang about because they know me, they know the community, they kind of have already hung around. So that's what you want to do, is try and convert as many people over to that kind of viewers as you can. If you play a different game, you will naturally, and anybody will naturally drop, because there will be a select amount of people who only want to watch you for that one game. But it's the battle I have with myself is I always say, right, I am going to go back into variety, but in this weird sense, Overwatch pays the bills. So it's almost like a weird gamble with myself. It's like, will I be able to pay my mortgage this month? So because it felt like I was able to make my full-time jump into streaming from playing Overwatch, if I start trying other things, which I know I would be successful at, if I was to say, right, for 6 months, I'm not going to play Overwatch or minimal Overwatch, I would probably be pretty, well, I'd do pretty well, because I'm confident that I have a personality that could keep audiences interested because I've done it before Overwatch came out. But it's kind of like a really, it's a hard step to take, because when you feel like you know, you have bills to pay and you know that it's been provided from, weirdly, a game, it feels like a bit of a gamble. But sometimes, you know, that's what life is. You've just got to take the gamble. The problem, not the problem, but I still enjoy Overwatch. I still have fun. It's some days it gets frustrating, more frustrating, not because I'm bored of playing, but because of it's a game, which is a competitive game. And then you get some flavored personalities, let's say, while you're playing. And that's the issue. One of the main tips I can say here is, if you want to have a community, don't worry too much about your skill rating, skill rank, because as soon as you start caring more for that than your community, you're doing it wrong. And that's something that I actually recognized. I was caring more if I won or lost games than if I was actually like having fun and chatting to the community. The community would see me in a bad mood because I've lost a few games, but that's not really how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like, people are supposed to be having a good time regardless if you win or lose. And your mood should not be dictated by if you gain or lose skill rating or rank. And that is it's a difficult one, because in streaming you have people who are, you know, funny, you have people who are skilled, you know, entertainers. It's like a different range of reasons why people watch. If you've got like a good mix of them, then that's really good. But you know, I know that I'm you know, semi-decent at the game, and I've got a semi-decent personality, but as soon as you start focusing on just one aspect, like really wanting to be good, then it can kind of come crumbling down. You'll notice that the chat will become quiet when you're really just focused on the game. And it's kind of like, in a way, it's unhealthy to stream like that, especially if you're full-time, because you set a bad impression. So what I did, I tried to relax myself away. Some people have win-loss counters on their stream, like how many games did they win, how many games did they lose, but I got rid of that because I don't want somebody coming to my stream and seeing I've lost like five games and won only one. They're like, well, this guy's probably going to be in a bad mood. So I'd rather get rid of that, get rid of the idea that something like that could happen. And I've been working on it. It's difficult as a competitive player. Like 10 years ago, I used to compete in Call of Duty 4 Pro Mod. And, you know, I've always been a semi-competitive FPS player. It's just nature. It's quite difficult to be fine with just being like, oh, I've lost now, you know, whatever. Because that's kind of like a casual gamer. But for me, I'm like, well, I am a competitive player. I want to play well. The better, a game like Overwatch is, the better you play, the more viewers you'll have. There is like a correlation between that as well. So if you have everything, if you're a really, really good player, if you're really entertaining, really funny, really witty, then your stream can really take off. So I've noticed that the higher the rank I am in Overwatch, the more viewers I have, which is weird. But people want to see good players because they want to learn. Like, education is one of the biggest reasons of people watching Twitch.
And then that must surely loop back into you wanting to win more, because you obviously know that the higher rank you are usually drives more viewers because they want to watch somebody that is good at the game educating them. But then that also battles with what we've just said about having to care about your stream and not care about your rank so much. So how do you deal with that?
Well, I don't even look at my view count anymore. Like, most days I actually have no idea how many views I've got. Somebody would say, oh, you've got like 1,000 views. I'm like, have I? Like, I have no idea. I turned it off because, right, you shouldn't really care so much for the numbers. It's kind of like a byproduct. If you do a good job with the community, then the numbers will fill themselves. You don't need to constantly look at a number, which is probably not going to change by you staring at it. You know, if you create good content and if you know you're having a great time with the community, it doesn't really matter if your numbers are, you know, I think Twitch now is not really about growth or going down. It's about just staying level a lot of the time. You know, if you have a community that supports you and you can survive, you know, while growth is nice, I think being steady is more important. I think being like on a level line of being able to just do what you want to do without having too much worry about, am I growing? Am I doing this? Because as soon as a new game comes out and it's really popular, as soon as that kind of tapers off and starts going downwards, it's very difficult to get back to that peak. And what was really frustrating, after when Overwatch first came out, I was sitting 2,500, 3,000 views daily. You know, I was doing really well, top three on the category. And then Overwatch League came out, and then the game lost, you know, bits of popularity, wasn't as viewed on Twitch. And it's almost like disheartening to see that there's not much you can do, but your numbers will naturally go down. And it's the same for anything and anyone, same for Ninja when he was at his peak. It's, you know, it's only going to come down, but then it's about leveling off and staying at a nice, steady flow rather than saying, right now, I really want to grow. Like, growth is great, but I think it's, I mean, I got milestones to grow, but I think it's nice to just be steady, have people come to the stream every day, come and enjoy the stream. And I think focusing on other aspects instead of growth, like being consistent, is something which is really important. Being consistent, making sure you're doing like basic things like answering your chat and getting people involved. And I think they're more important than staring at a view account.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I recommend a lot, especially to newer streamers who are starting out, is don't care about your view account. Disable that, because it's only going to distract you. It's much better to look at number of followers, or if you can keep your chat engaged and things like that, rather than purely caring about how many people are watching you that day. I wanted to ask a couple of questions about your relationship with Blizzard. You obviously mentioned at the start that your choice of streaming Overwatch was because Blizzard was a well-renowned company and didn't have many games under their belt, so you knew it was going to stay around for a long time. You're often featured on the Battle.net launcher, where you can launch games from Blizzard and from Activision when you're streaming. How has that relationship come about? Did they reach out to you, or was that something that just happened and you found out about it after the fact?
No, so every time I go onto the Battle.net launcher, I know. A lot of the times there's like a special promotion going on. But to be honest, I'm someone who will ask to get something. I will seek out contacts and I will try and do my best to make sure that I can have something work in my favor, because, well, if nobody else asks and I do, then I'm probably going to get what I want. At the beginning of Overwatch, we got the beta keys, and then I had a contact there. And I actually think the original email I got was from a YouTube video of mine, from one of the community managers in EU from Blizzard. And that's kind of where the relationship started. And because I was so dedicated to making content, they saw, hey, this guy is making good content, he's growing, we want to help that as well. So any opportunity, I'd email saying, hey, you know, is there any chance to be on the front page of the Battle.net launch? Or, hey, can I get involved in this? Or please let me know if there's anything coming up, I'd love to get involved. Just when you reach out, just being in the forefront of somebody's mind, knowing that you're willing, makes it their job 10 times easier. I'm very lucky to be on the front page of Twitch. I'm very lucky with the sponsors. And it's not about, I don't want to say people are lazy, but it's about putting yourself out there as well. If you're out there and, like I say, you're willing and you're ready to listen and you're ready to say the things that they want to hear as well. So like with Blizzard, you know, what is their goal? They put me on there. You know, they don't want somebody who's going to just be talking badly about their games. They want somebody who's positive, who welcomes the community. They're like, right, if we have people clicking through from the Battle.net launcher onto this guy's stream, what is it that we want to achieve? And that's something which is really important. And not a lot of streamers do that. They're like, they just think about like, oh, I want this, but not like a two-way street. It's like, right, what can I provide in good quality to them, like to Blizzard? What do they want? What do my sponsors want? What do these guys want? So I'm like, right, well, they want good words, educational content. They want to promote their game. So no slandering. Even if something bad happens, just ignore it. And if you do a good job, maybe they'll work with you again. And same in any business. It's like repeat business if you do a good job. When I was first beginning, I said to myself, I don't want any, because I worked in the IT industry, right? So I had contacts to computer company marketers that I could get sponsorships from if I wanted it. But I said, I don't want to get sponsored until I'm ready, until my stream has good viewers, or, you know, or I can provide value. That's what it's about. It's about you providing value to that company, not just getting a free product. It's about, or you know, any sort of monetary value per month. It's about, you are, in the end, a marketing channel for this company to promote their products, to create impressions, to create exposure, so more people know about it. That's it, 101. And after growing a little bit, I was quite lucky that I had already got contacts that I could drop an email over to, like, hey, friend, you know, how about we sort out a sponsorship? And they're like, yeah, let's do something. So that was another reason for starting full-time streaming, is because I knew I had the contacts for it. Like, having the network is very important, because you have loads of people that you can fire out an email to. It's not cold email. They already know you. So they're going to consider it a bit more seriously straight away. And, you know, some may say yes, some might say no. But in the end, you have options. And that's what's important as well. And if you don't have the options, it's about understand. Like, if you want to get a sponsor, it's about, like, why do you want a sponsor? And are you providing what the sponsor would need? Is it something that, you know, if you have 10 viewers, are you really going to be providing what the sponsor really wants? Like, is there value there? It's all going to start from somewhere. But at the end of the day, you can grow a stream to a size where you can then start acquiring sponsors, but without having them before, if you know what I mean. Like, if you have good content, your stream will grow, and then having sponsorships is kind of like the next step of streaming. There are different deals. There's like affiliate programs out there. I remember starting affiliate programs that did really well, and that can be both beneficial for the company and for the streamer. And I think that's a really good thing to start off with, because it's like a taste into the world of sponsorships.
Yeah, absolutely. I think affiliate schemes are the perfect way to start to earn a little bit of money once you get a bit of traction with your stream. And there's a really neat plugin, because obviously Twitch is owned by Amazon. So if you recommend products on Amazon from your stream, you can earn a bit of commission. There's a really great plugin that Amazon have built where you can sort of recommend the gear that you're using on your Twitch stream and actually have it linked down in the Twitch panels below. And then if people go through that, purchase a item on Amazon, then you earn a small commission. So yeah, totally agree. I think affiliate schemes are the perfect way to get into the idea of sponsorships. Just to jump back to the discussion about being on the Battle.net launcher, when you're featured on places like there or on the Twitch homepage in the UK or worldwide, what kind of difference does that actually make to your stream? Is it just a boost in viewers, or do you actually see any revenue increase from bits and subs?
So I was on the Battle.net launcher quite early on when Overwatch came out, and that made a huge difference to my stream. So at that point, I was already like 150 to 200 viewers before that. And then after that happened, I was daily about 1,000 viewers. So that made a huge impact at the very beginning of Overwatch. The Battle.net launcher is definitely the better one of the two, because people who come through from Battle.net launcher probably are already interested in Overwatch. That's why they're clicking it. Whereas on the front page of Twitch, there's a variety of things that can happen. People can load up the front page of Twitch. It will load the stream on the front page, but then they'll just click off onto where they're going to go. Like, say they're going to go watch a different streamer. I'll get that impression. So the front page of Twitch is a bit of a weird one. I always say it's a blessing and a curse, because I'm very grateful to have it. But a lot of the time, I can't work out how impactful it is. What will happen is I will get a slightly inflated view account by having the front page. Now, I don't mind, because it means there are people who are on the front page. There's a lot of people that will just watch on the front page as well. They might never come through, they'll watch it, and then it's about trying to bring those people from the front page saying, hey, come join us if you're from the front page of Twitch, and you know, come hang out with the people in the stream. So some people will watch it, some people will just load and click off. And what will happen is I'm almost, in a way, not sure where my natural view account lies now, because I'm luckily so frequently on the front page. I'm pretty much on there daily, which is really nice. But again, it's something I asked for. I said, hey, can I be on the UK backfill of the UK front page of Twitch? And I'm very grateful for it. And I know one day it will expire at some point. I feel like I'm definitely not utilizing it as best as it could be. I think I should be playing new games, because if people go to Twitch, it's a lot of times so they can check out brand new game. And if I'm on the front page playing a brand new game, then I'm probably going to build up viewer base that way. So I feel like I've got these great opportunities that I am not utilizing properly, but I think it's really important that I understand that I'm not utilizing it properly. But then that kind of falls back to our conversation about Overwatch, what pays the bills. So it's kind of like this weird, vicious, looping cycle. So I kind of just got to take that dive. But yeah, so Twitch front page is good, but not as impactful as people may think. When you have global front page, now that's a big thing, because you will get good viewers from that as well. So that's like front page in America, front page in the UK, and then different parts of like English-speaking nations as well. And that really does help, because it brings people through. So it's kind of like front page, but not like full-fat front page, if you get what I mean. But it's, you know, if somebody said, would you prefer to have it or not to have it, I'd definitely say, yeah, I'd have it, because it's any way as a streamer to bring new viewers, new eyes to your stream is definitely a tick box. Yes, like that's, you know, it's a no-brainer, really. Like, would you want to be on the front page of Twitch? Of course. I would say there will be people who come to the stream, which I won't know, or from the front page, will watch, will enjoy, I'll welcome them to the community, I'll make them feel, you know, part of the Valkyrians, and then they might subscribe from that, but I may never know that they're from the front page of Twitch. You know, some people, I try and find out, but I don't want to be like a broken record all the time saying, oh, hey guys, who's from the front page of Twitch? Like, I'd rather just have it naturally happen. But overall, from what priority I have, I don't think it really increases that. It definitely increases the chances of people finding the stream, but I don't think it really has any sort of huge monetary increase.
We talked earlier about your strategy that you took to grow when Overwatch came out. if you're starting to look at the lifespan of games like Overwatch, you must be pretty tempted and excited when you hear the news of companies like Riot developing the FPS game Valorant, not sure exactly how you pronounce it yet, but that's obviously planning to come out this summer at some point. What kind of strategy do you take when a new game comes out? Because obviously you don't want to lose your audience from Overwatch, but you kind of need to grind hard to be able to be a big name in this new category.
Well, I think at the beginning, you've got to go full into the new game because you don't really have time to make content on the old game if you want to be out there first. I'm quite lucky. Like I've got in place like my sponsors for like the year. So if I really wanted, I could stop playing Overwatch and quite comfortably play something else and be fine. I think it's more that I don't want to do that for 6 months and find out it's gone nowhere. But that's just, I feel like that's just something I need to get over because that's the way it is. Like I could have done, that could have been the same with Overwatch, right? I could have quit my job and then that's gone nowhere. But I think it was more in my mind, like, right, I'm like 100% that this is going to go fine. Like I was like so certain with that. And I feel like it could be the same. I almost feel like I'm starting the stream in a way from zero again, which is stupid because it's not, because there are people who will watch all the content I will make, but that's kind of the way it is. And it's a bit of it's so important. This year, I'm like, right, I need to make sure I expand out. I need to start going back into more variety or something fresh. New games come out, jump on day one and get people familiar with me playing other games as well, because Overwatch doesn't really shine any personality, which I have. And they don't get to see it. So if I play another game, they go, actually, this is pretty good. And everything I've done before, I played Escape from Tarkov, people really enjoyed it. I had more active chatters in that than I did in Overwatch because I'm like asking questions, like I'm doing real dumb, stupid stuff. But in terms of, sorry, going back to the question, yeah, I think when new games come out, you've got to just focus. It's almost like you've just got to expand the time you work just to make sure you can create enough content that you can get online, which is relevant for that time. So I'll create a content plan. So I'll sit down and say, right, what videos would I like to make from this? What do I want to make? Guides? Do I want to make like simple things like crosshair tutorials? Do I want to make just kind of like VOD reviews, looking at other players? And there's like a world of different things that can be done. It's almost like when a new game comes out, there's like this set of videos that can be created. And then there's people who come across with their own creations of something completely different, which is really nice. But I to be honest, I'm not sure how I'm going to take it. I think I'm just going to maybe put some feelers out there. I did put a Valkyrie X to the Valorant gameplay, and that, you know, it got like maybe 3,000-4,000 views on YouTube, which is, you know, not huge, but it's pretty good considering it's not Overwatch for me. So it shows real life. And when Apex came out, I did make a guide for that. I spent like a whole day, like 24 hours making it, and I got like 12,000 views, which is pretty decent again, considering it's not Overwatch for me. So I feel like if I stay within the FPS genre, then I think my audience will resonate with it a bit more, which gives me a bit more hope that I think it can go on.
One thing that we haven't really touched on, and I think you do a really good job of, is a lot of people that pigeonhole themselves into playing a specific game have done so because either their name or their branding is so heavily associated with that game that it's difficult for them to then rebrand themselves as somebody that plays a variety of different games, whereas you have been very consistent with your branding from day one, and it has nothing really to do with Overwatch or the game that has made you kind of the streamer that you are today. So what tips do you have for people listening in terms of branding for their streams and how they can make sure that they keep that unique, but also keep it separate from the game that they are currently streaming?
Streaming is more than just going live and playing a game. It's like having, I always say Twitch is like a blank canvas. I love this. Twitch is like a blank canvas, right? You paint it the way you want it to be seen. You can have like a storefront. You can have like great branding. You can have your great call to actions. Just if you treat it more than just going live and treat it like it's just, I know, its own entity. I had always hated saying this, and calling streaming a business, but it really is, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, but it's like, it's your weird community business where you really care for it. You're really kind of nurturing the growth of it. And it's, in some ways, it's very similar to like running a normal business. And so what does a normal business need? You know, it does need a logo. It does need a color scheme. It needs something recognizable. So having a brand icon, which people would see everywhere, like, oh, that's Valkyrie's purple, or, you know, I know that logo, that's Valkyrie's logo. Branding to me was very important because of where I worked. Like I worked in a print shop, so I having good business cards. I had business cards from day one as well. It's like, well, who am I gonna meet? Like if I come up to somebody and I'm like a small streamer or a growing streamer, let's say, and I'm talking to a potential sponsor and it's in person and I present myself really well, but I don't tell them the stream size, they might go, this guy's like really professional. Like, he's probably going to be going places. Maybe I'll take a chance on him. So I think how you present yourself is everything as well. Yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about being recognizable. That's what Twitch is all about, right?
Yeah, and of course, for anybody that is listening that wants to see the branding that we're talking about, I'll have links to Valkyr's Twitch stream in the show notes for this episode. Could you tell us a little bit about what a day in the life of a full-time streamer looks like? Because a lot of people listening are probably doing this as their hobby with their dream of it becoming their full-time career at some point. What does it look like for you as a full-time streamer?
So there's quite a lot. So first of all, I want to bring Kat, my partner, into it. So Kat, she owns a gaming marketing agency, which is really cool. So me and Kat, we spend hours just talking marketing, talking strategy about the clients she works with and my stream as well. So streaming for me, I'll wake up in the morning. I don't sleep very well, so sometimes I'll wake up a bit later than I'd like to, but I want to get up every day at 7:30 and I'll go downstairs. Then we have our to-do list and we'll go through our to-do list and we'll say, today we want to achieve this. And then we'll look at emails and I'll look through if I have anybody who wants to do any sort of promotions, if I need to just generally respond back, if I want to reach out to anybody, have podcast talks with people. And I'll kind of get all that stuff out of the way. So the issue I had last year is that I didn't have a schedule of when I started on time. It's really important that you have that. So this year I'm like, right, 12 o'clock every day I start. If I need to do anything before that, I get it done. After that, no way. Whatever it is, has to wait because I have to do what I need to do. So do emails, and then I have a look at the stream, get stream titles ready, make sure that OBS is running smoothly. To be honest, at the moment, I feel like I'm just going live. The other day, I had a really good stream. So I had the Pharah voice actor live with me on stream, and we had the best stream. We were doing Q&As. It was fantastic. I had a great time. So yeah, go live. And my plan normally is I want to have at least 4 good hours. So I feel like my stream goes up for the first 3 or 4 hours and then it will kind of like flatline a little bit because I've just been online. After a while, you lose energy. And sometimes when you hear about streams that go on for like 12 hours, 15 hours, and I used to do that, when you actually look at what you're getting back from it, like if you stream for 15 hours, but you haven't had a sub for like 3 hours, and you haven't really had many followers, is it better that you come offline and then you start looking at YouTube and start doing some content for YouTube so you can create something different? Because this is what me and Kat are talking about. She's like, well, you can stay live for 10 hours a day, but if you're having 4 or 5 good hours and then after that, the stream is just not as strong, maybe you just focus on that 4 or 5 hours and then focus your efforts elsewhere. Because she said at the end of the day, it is your business. You need to make sure that it's running smoothly. If you don't have customers in your shop for like 4 hours, are you going to keep open? You're probably not. And I feel like a lot of other content creators will agree as well, that you'll find that your stream is really good and really popping for a few hours. So that's why some streamers do 2 streams per day at 4 hours each, because I think that's like optimal of getting the best results. You know, I'm very privileged to do what I do, and I love what I do, but I think when you stream and you want to stream full time, you've really got to think about it seriously in a way which is like, right, am I just playing games for the sake of playing games to an audience? Or am I really looking at this as like, okay, how can I improve this? Like, what are the most optimal results? Am I doing too long? Or can I focus my efforts elsewhere, which will then in turn make everything better? I mean, that's what it's about. It's like, if I stop doing this and make it better here, will this overall be better for the channel in the future?
I'm interested to know what you think are the biggest struggles with doing this full time, because a lot of people, especially people outside of the industry, just hear that you make money playing video games for a living and they don't really understand the amount of work or the struggles that you deal with of having to basically run your own business. So I'd love to hear what struggles you find with being a full-time content creator.
I think coming up with, as the job entails, coming up with fresh content is actually quite difficult. A lot of streaming, people will kind of get into like a rhythm of doing the same thing. Same with me, like I'll go live, I'll play Overwatch and then I'll finish. I'll go live, play Overwatch and then I'll finish. And some of the other streams that are really, really great, kind of they'll go live and they'll have like a plan, say, right, today I'm going to do VR and I'm going to do this and I'm going to include this. Tomorrow I will do an IRL stream and I will make sure to have like this great content. So as content is, but I find on Twitch, the nice idea of going live and being able to do the same thing daily is quite nice, but then you have to keep it fresh to keep it interesting. And that's what happened when I did have the voice actor for Farah here. Like, it was different and it was popping and it was like crazy. It was like one of the best streams I had in ages because it was different content. And I think trying to find all that different content all the time, especially when you're playing the same game and that game gets a little bit older and the content is done, a lot of it, it makes it more difficult to find fresh things, I think. But I think overall, you know, there are pros and cons for doing it. You know, it's, I love it and I wouldn't change it for anything. I think it's it is the best job that I have ever had. I'm my own boss. And that's the other blessing and a curse. Like, when you're your own boss, you've really got to, you know, there's nobody really holding yourself accountable other than you. So when you put things off, you don't have anybody saying you're fired or, you know, you're not doing as well as you could be. You've got to really be self-disciplined. I think self-discipline full-time is one of the hardest things. You can put things off and maybe you're not doing as well as you could do, but you're like, ah, you know what, whatever, I'll do it next week rather than starting it now. And there's a lot of, you give yourself a bit more leeway with things rather than saying, no, you have to do it. You've got to do it. Like, or this will happen. There's no repercussions in some ways. But if you want to progress, I think the thing with this is if you're motivated and you want to progress into that career, then that comes naturally. You won't even think twice.
And I think one of the things that people can struggle with in terms of self-motivation is when they're not seeing the results instantly from the work that they did the day before or the week before. And with a lot of content creation and growing your stream and growing your YouTube channel, it often comes, you know, 6 months or even a year down the line that all of that hard work pays off. There's a perfect example of this, actually. Recently, when Escape from Tarkov just absolutely blew up out of nowhere, even though the game had been out for a little while, there was a streamer, I hope I get his name right, called Pestily, who had been streaming and creating content around this game since its release. And he had, you know, hundreds of videos on his YouTube channel, really in-depth guides about how to play the game at a high level. So when the game then became much more popular on Twitch because a lot of the big streamers were transitioning over to playing it, he was in the perfect position to capitalize on all of that hype. And his stream grew massively, his YouTube channel grew massively, and he basically became what people like to brand an overnight success, even though for years before he had been grinding away and creating that content.
That's an interesting one because of how long it took Tarkov to kick off as well. Normally games kick off fairly quickly after they release, that and then they either stay popular or they die. But it's less heard, really, that games are out for a long time and then suddenly they explode. And then, because at that point, yeah, it will be popular, but it's not going to be too popular. And yeah, there will be people ready to go, you know, and that's great because that means all the work he's done, he's like, holy shit, this has been great. Like, I can really benefit from this now because of how it's kicked off. And that's really cool. I like that.
Mark, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today. I think this has been a really useful conversation and a lot of people listening will have got a lot of things out of hearing what it was like growing into a full-time streamer. Lastly, where can we send listeners that want to hear more about you or maybe check out your stream?
So if you have enjoyed and would like to join the community, you can find me over at twitch.tv/Valkia, youtube.com/Valkia if you want some Overwatch content, plus if, you know, maybe we're feeling spicy, we'll do some other content as well. Maybe I've been inspired to branch out. Or, you know, I've been trying to promote my Instagram now recently as well because of the whole sponsor side of it. I feel like Instagram is a platform which would do quite well for me. So Instagram's official Valkia. Thanks for having me though, I appreciate it.
Yep, and we will leave links to all of those things as well as anything else that we've discussed in this episode in the show notes so you can click across in your current podcast player. Guys, thanks so much for listening to this episode and for checking out the podcast in general. I've really enjoyed doing these first few episodes and the reviews that we've had on Apple Podcast Store have been incredible. So thank you to anyone that has left one of those. Today's call to action is just to share this podcast with somebody else that you think would benefit to listening to a conversation with creators and people in the live streaming industry. Thanks again for listening, and I will catch you guys in the next episode. Peace.